Let's see. Let's ask this question first. When we're talking specifically about social media, what are the benefits of it? What are the things that you seem useful for it? And what are some of the things that are some of the dangers of social media? Benefits and dangers. What did you guys talk about? Communication. Okay, communication with people. Good.
Marketing.
What is it?
Marketing.
Marketing. Come on. Need AC repair? Got it right there, okay? People can learn about our church on social media. That happens, okay? What else?
Entertainment.
There's some fun that comes with it, right? Entertainment, things to laugh at. What else? Free international phone calls. There we go. Me gusta. Okay. What else?
Ministry.
Yeah. There's opportunities. Okay. What are some of the dangers?
Too much.
Too much of it.
Deception.
Hacking. Yeah. You could get your information stolen. There's all sorts of stuff.
Manipulation.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir. Right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that you're like, I'm not really sure that that's true, right? And there's now AI-generated stuff online all the time that you're like, what? You telling me that guy didn't save a frozen eagle and nursed him back to health? I thought that was totally, totally legit. It looked real-ish, although those coyotes did have multiple heads, so I wasn't sure how that happened. But anyway, right, there's dangers to it. For sure. I'm sure there are things we like about it and we dislike about it. What do we think about that last question I put in there? How would your life be without social media? I said better. Yeah, I gave away the lead there. How would it be without social media? What do you think? Imagine going back to that universe. Some of you, I know we got the student ministry with us today. Some of you never existed in that universe where it hasn't existed. How would life be if it didn't exist?
The same.
Wow.
Now, I don't even know how to download it.
That's good. You live in a good spot. Just stay there. It's good. What would be different?
Real friendships.
Okay. Friendships that are talking to actual people, right?
Peace versus anxiety.
What's that?
Peace versus anxiety.
Anxiety. That's right. There's all sorts of things to be worried about. That's what the social media reminds us of. Well, today we want to talk about this. I could think of even in my own lifetime. My first dive into social media was through AIM. Did anyone have AIM back in the day? AOL Instant Messenger. This was middle school for me that we had that. Then there was MySpace. Who had a MySpace back in the day? Just curious. Do you remember when MySpace had the top 8 and you could like rearrange it, which felt like an easy way to offend everyone? You could like, well, this is my number one friend and this is not my number one friend. So there was that. Then there's Facebook, today there's Instagram, Twitter, formerly known as X, there's TikTok, there's all sorts of stuff. I'm sure if I said name them, there'd be things I haven't heard of yet, because there's all sorts of ways where technology wants to use it. People list YouTube as a sort of social media, which it's not how I saw it being used growing up, but it is what it's YouTube. People post on there and create their own channels on there, they comment on there. Even if you don't think you use social media, it is inescapable for most of us that we would hop on the internet and need help with that. So I think this is a really good issue for us today, especially for parents in the room or those who would like to be parents sometime soon. I mean, we have children that grow up with the pressure to have this. My son has friends who have phones and have access to the internet as young as elementary school. And it's kind of like we're handing these things off. But are we thinking rightly about how to use these biblically? There's some great resources out there. By the way, I could give you some books I'd recommend about how to think about honoring the Lord and technology and even what that has to do with parenting. What I want to do today is think about us, because I think this is something that we're susceptible to as well. Social media, we think, oh yeah, it's just something that teenagers and college students can fall prey to, all the trappings of it. That is not true. We as well cannot use our technology wisely, and we want to make sure that we use it as unto the Lord. In fact, you have there at the top of your verse, or at the top of your handout, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, says, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. That's our goal here, is we want to be pleasing to the Lord in every aspect of our life, even in the way that we use our technology. We want to honor Him. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to study God's Word. We're not going to look at just one passage. We're going to jump around to a bunch of different passages. This won't even be comprehensive of everything I could talk about. What I want to do is I kind of want to bring some categories to the front of our mind. I want to bring some things that Scripture says about life in general, and I want to apply it to our use of the phone, of internet, social media, and everything else that goes along with it. So if you have your Bibles, let's start in James chapter 3. James chapter 3 is where we're going to begin. And like I said, I want to give you some categories, but before that, I want to kind of give two foundational truths. You'll see that at the top of your handout, two foundational truths. These are kind of two things that before we even talk about the subject that we need to recognize and remember. I see you're turning there and I'm giving you points, so go ahead and you'll get there. But here's the first kind of foundational truth is God cares about your social media use. Or if you're like, I don't use social media, you can say God cares about your technology use. It all belongs to Him. This is not some separate category. This is not because it's new. The Bible doesn't really talk about it, therefore it's not something that matters. No, everything in this life belongs to Him. And there's not this distinction between the real world and the technological world. It's all the same thing. It all belongs to the Lord. When I was primarily leading a high school ministry, I would call this point, God is following you. He's one of your followers, as it were, as in He's paying attention to what you're doing, what you're posting, what you're liking, what you're viewing, how much time you're spending, and His desire is to be honored in all of it. What that means, by the way, is if it were something that we couldn't honor God in, that we'd have to shut it down and walk away from it. But social media is one of those things, technology is one of those things that's not inherently evil. You know, for example, is your car that you drove here today, is your car evil? The answer to that is no. It could be used for great good. It can be used for evil. We've seen people use vehicles for evil. Technology, social media is the same way. It's an opportunity to honor the Lord. It's not something that's inherently wicked or inherently good. This device right here, which mine is bright orange, it was a very severe lapse of judgment, and I will deal with the consequences for the next 2 years. This technology here, which I will not lose apparently either, this thing can be used for great good or great evil. There are so many things now that we could send a text to somebody, send a call to somebody, get directions, find our keys in the house. There are so many things that we could use this for that are for good. There's also all sorts of danger. And the people who designed your phone and the people who designed the apps that you use on the phone want you to use it as much as possible. They are designed that way. There's good marketing money available to them because of that. And so we need to be reminded, no, Romans 12, we're living sacrifices to the Lord. We want to worship Him even with our media. You know, social media did not surprise God. It's not something that He never saw coming. God knew this would happen, and He wants us to honor Him with it. Okay, here's the second thing I want you to get. Here's the second foundational truth, is that social media or technology is a privilege, not a right or a requirement. It's a privilege, not a right or a requirement. People lived fulfilling lives for thousands of years without it. Now, you might think today, well, man, there's a lot of jobs then where you're going to need technology. And I would say, yeah, that's true, but that doesn't mean you have to use all of it. Yes, you will need a laptop for certain jobs. You will need internet use for certain jobs. But that doesn't mean, just because everyone else has this site, everyone else is on this platform, that we have to do the same thing. Now, we have this mindset that I want to honor the Lord. I'm not entitled to this. I would even say, I know there's young kids, or we got the high school and middle schoolers here. If your parents have told you no, that means no, you don't do that. You've got to be willing to limit or even remove accounts, even if everyone else you know is involved in it. Even if that means you miss out on all the announcements on Instagram or Facebook or whatever platforms you use. So let's dive into it. I want us to think about this. I want us to look at this topic. And there's four different areas that I want to consider today and think about how we'd honor the Lord. So let's first talk about social media and communication. Social media and communication. That's a big category number one. Social media is communication. I mean, the definition of the word social, dictionary.com, pertaining to, devoted to, characterized by friendly companionship or relations. It is communication. You are interacting with people, or at least you're reading what someone else is posting, either in a video form or written form. And Scripture actually tells us then a lot about communication. First of all, it tells us that communication is important to God. God created communication. It's Genesis 1 that through His words that God creates everything we see. Hebrews 1 says the same thing, that He spoke through His word, the final word, Jesus Christ. So God cares deeply about how we speak, how we communicate. God creates via communication, and therefore we need to understand this matters to Him. We also need to understand that communication can be dangerous. Let's look at James chapter 3, verse 2 here. It says this, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the entire body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct the entire body as well. Look at the ships also, that though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot wills. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." So James is saying here, as he begins by saying, yeah, if you were to able control your mouth, you'd be the perfect person. Right? Everyone sins in multiple ways, but there's nobody who doesn't sin with their mouth. In fact, Paul in Romans chapter 3, I've pointed out, part of his evidence of like that everyone is under sin is he says, well, look at the way we talk about one another. Look at the things we say about one another. James here says, hey, look how much a great of a fire comes from such a small little spark. How much damage we do with one of the smallest parts of our body, the tongue, our mouths. Verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. It sets on fire the course of our existence. It is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." How many of you ever experienced that? Or you've said something, you just thought, man, I wish I could take that back. Now, I feel like this last year, Proverbs 10:19, you know, where words are many, transgression is inevitable, right? It just seems where we just keep talking, we're going to say things that harm others, that are proud, that are arrogant, that do not honor the Lord. Verse 9, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. Does a fountain pour forth in the same opening fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." We cannot be those who on one hand praise God, and on the other hand then rip others created in His image. Now, that is communication. We're saying that that's oral communication. But that would also to apply to things that we type on our keyboard or with our thumbs on our phone. The same rules would apply. Are we using our words, our communication, in a way that would honor the Lord? Or are we, with a few finger strokes, praising God, and in the next post, ripping those that are created in His image? Communication can be dangerous. We also know communication can be good. Did I put Psalm 19 on your handout there? Did I get that one? "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." When we think about that, okay, well, that must mean our words can be acceptable. Our communication can please the Lord, and therefore our post, what we type, what we put online, should honor the Lord as well. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, because we also know that communication always involves other people. And so all we're doing, by the way, right now is we're just taking like the normal passages we go to about how we think about talking to others. We're just applying it to social media, which I think is a legitimate application. I think it's a legitimate way how to think about how we spend our time online. So Ephesians chapter 4, and we see here that, the way we use our mouths, it affects other people, either for good or for evil. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He's going to then say putting off and putting on. This is part of a larger context, which we'll see in a few months here as we're studying Ephesians on Sunday. But those who steal, don't steal anymore, rather share. Look at verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for building up what is needed, so it will give grace to those who hear. All right, let's stop right there. We'll look at the next few verses in a second. Okay, we're not supposed to have any unwholesome word come out of our mouth. Right? No corrupting talk. It's not words that break down, it's words that build up. Now, we also just saw we're supposed to speak truth. Now, how many times have you seen? See, I'm going off my notes a little bit. I'm going to meddle a little bit, so I apologize in advance. How many times have you seen someone post something online and they've said, well, it's true. I mean, we're in a truth war here, right? We've got to get the truth out. But I don't know if it was kind of the words that were meant for building up, right? I don't know if it was done with a tone to build up. I don't know if the aim was to give grace to those who hear. By the way, just as a side note, can people that read things you post online hear the tone with which you post them?
No.
Let me ask you something, okay? Don't raise your hand, or sorry, you don't have to raise your hand, you can just not, you don't have to give me an answer. Are there certain politicians online that you're biased towards and certain politicians online that you're biased against? Okay, do you tend to read certain ones always in a good light and always assume that the other person's yelling at you vigorously? Right, we assume tone based on what we already think about the person. Okay, here we go. Do you think people might do that with you as well?
No.
So never, right? They just think, I know it with you, Carlos. So I assume it's always nice. But so we got to think that way. Is this going to build up or is this unwholesome speech? Is this what's tearing down? Am I posting in a way that would give grace to those who hear? How about this one, verse 31? Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and shouting and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, graciously forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has graciously forgiven you. Man, that tells us a lot. Good speech is encouraging of others. It's true, but it's loving. Bad speech is, you know, ripping on others. What the kids call today, trolling. Bad language, ripping on others. That is not okay. We're supposed to use our speech in a way that honors the Lord. That would mean then that even foul language is still foul language whether you say it or whether you type it. It's the same thing. If it would be inappropriate to say it out loud, it's inappropriate to type it and to post. I'm sure that doesn't apply to any of us. Let's keep working here. We need to then think about it. So here's a blog article that I found. Guy gave 12 good questions to ask. You can ask for these later. I'm just going to rip through them real quick, but I think you'll get the point. 12 questions to ask for posting, particularly words, right? Will this edify? Will it be easily misunderstood? Will it reach the right audience? Will it help my evangelism? Will it bring about unhelpful controversy? Will it offend or embarrass someone? Will it convey care? Will it help others appreciate someone else? Am I boasting? Is the tone appropriate? Is it wrong to say nothing? Hey, look at that one. Even a fool when he says nothing is considered wise. That's in the Proverbs. I like that one. And what do others advise about posting this? What I like about those questions, it just promotes like, be careful, be thoughtful. Remember, there are real people that you're communicating with. Let me give you another reality. Communication reveals the heart. What you say reveals what's inside. And that comes from Matthew 15, 18. I gave you guys that one, right? Did I give you all Matthew 15, 18 on the handout? What does Jesus say? But the things that proceed out of the mouth, or through the fingertips, I guess, in this situation, come from the heart, and those defile the man. So there's not the real us that lives unplugged over here, and this is just the fake. This one is not really accountable. They live in this permanent age of accountability. That's not the real me. Well, in one sense, that's true. Like, your avatar isn't the real you. We need real relationships. Someone talked about that. But in another sense, what you post comes from the real you. Comes from your heart. And it communicates about our hearts. So let me give you a few dangers to watch out for in the communication. And these are things that I've just felt that people would never do this in personal communication. But for some reason, technology has given license to do this. Okay, first one is this, complaining. Complaining. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Complaining about the day that we live in, complaining about the prices, complaining about who's in office, complaining about videos, complaining about family, complaining about churches. Complaining is not something that marks Christians. In fact, it's not just that Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling and complaining, but afterwards it says, so that you would shine as lights in a crooked and perverse generation, right? So if we're just out there only complaining, how are we different than non-Christians? How are we any different with our technology use? By the way, friends, that would apply to Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, where it talks about submitting to governing authorities and honoring the king. 1 Timothy 2 actually talks about praying for those who are in power. Okay, so there's tremendous evil committed around us, but we must be careful that we're still honoring people that God has put into places of government authority. Now, Christians don't struggle with complaining about politicians online, right? We're above that. It's nothing we'd never do. It's nothing we'd never. We would never turn someone off from the gospel by saying you have to 100% affirm a specific political leader in order to be a Christian, would we? No, that would never happen, right? We have to be careful. And I think so. I read that question there about misunderstood. I just want to say, we would never want to assume that to be a Christian means you are specifically part of a political party or that you agree with everything in that political party. I think we have the ability, if all we post about is politics, to reaffirm their bias, that Christianity is just another political bloc that's just trying to get power. Is that what we are? It's not what we are. We actually follow King Jesus. So we must be careful about how we complain online. It would be true with anger or language. Excuse me. Anger or language. Anything that, if you're posting it with anger in your heart, well then friend, it doesn't honor the Lord. And it's probably going to come across that way. We live, by the way, it's really interesting. There's a podcast I was listening to by an author talking about a book. The social media itself trades in outrage, right? So if you just post nice, simple things all the time, you know, nothing that's controversial, nothing that's divisive or polarizing, do you get a lot of traffic on social media?
No.
It's the polarizing, outrageous things that get a lot of the attention. So I just want to say, like, you will be rewarded with likes and follows by being aggressive and being harsh, and you'll get interaction by some. But that doesn't honor the Lord, and it isn't a good testimony to the Lord. We got to be careful about how we talk about people, by how we talk about certain issues of the day, by how we talk about men and women and sexual sin, and how we joke about things or laugh about things. We are practicing, we are saying things that are true of what's in our heart. We got to be selfless. One of the problems with communication is we're talking about ourselves all the time. We want people to see us, to like us, to know what's going on in our life. Let's take our Bibles and go to Proverbs 26. I want to point out two other things with social media and communication. Proverbs 26, and this could apply to technology in general. By the way, I think as we do this, I think this is something we're constantly going to have to work through, because technology will keep changing, and there's a real enemy out there that knows our weaknesses, and there's real marketers out there that study human behavior and know how to hook us and get us attached to these things. So, I said Proverbs 26. I meant Proverbs 12, my bad. You know what? I'm sorry. I did mean Proverbs 26. One last try. It's good. I read the community notes and we changed it, so that was good. Proverbs 26. We'll look at verses 4 and 5. I want to talk about the limited value of trying to communicate with people online. Let me say something that has helped me in regards to what things to post about or interact with or dive into. I don't think the internet has ever repented before. I don't think there are people who out there that say, I'm God's soldier and the internet is my battlefield. And I want to tell you, maybe if you want to interact with people you know, I've not seen that work out very well. Not seen that go well. So here's two verses to help you with this. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you yourself also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So there are times to address someone that is foolish to help them see the errors of their thinking. There's also the reality that if I answer a fool according to their folly, I'm not going to win them. I'm just going to harden them to their deception or their pride or their wrong perspective even more so. So I think we got to be careful with that. We got to be mindful that sometimes it'd just be better to pick up a phone and call somebody or arrange an outside conversation than try to hop online and have these conversations. They don't really seem to go anywhere, and I think the Proverbs would warn us against that. I think there's two other areas we need to be careful of. One of them is gossip. It would be very wrong to jump online, it'd be very wrong in person. You know, if I went to Carlos here and said, oh, you've got some information about so-and-so in this room, well, tell me more about them. What's going on, right? What would we call that in real life? We'd call that gossip. But online, it's like, well, it's just news. It's just out there. No, we're listening in on gossip. It's not good for our hearts. Helps us view people wrongly, helps us view ourselves with pride. And I also think, just as another thing, like, we need to be people of truth. There are far too many of us that go online, see a 30-second video that already affirms something we believe, and buy it. And then when it's proven untrue, we don't do anything about it. But we kind of lose our minds when the other side's video proves untrue, right? No, we're truth people. We're truth people even when truth comes out that, well, it doesn't really support our view of something as much. We got to be careful out there. We need to be discerning people. Listen, truth and time go hand to hand. You know what's interesting about the social media is a lot of times it's like these very polarizing opinions really quick. You need to make a decision about this right now. It's either this or that. And it's okay to say, like, well, let's just wait and see. Let's wait to see what happened here. Let's see if that's real or not. Anyone ever been duped by one of those? You saw something, you're like, oh, I can't believe that happened. And then like a few days later, you're like, oh, I guess that wasn't even real, it was fake. Okay, we need to be careful that we don't buy into things more quickly than we ought to. Especially as Christians, we're people that love the truth. All right, that's number one, social media and your communication. Now you're going, great, I haven't posted anything in years. I'm just an observer, a passerby. I'm not involved in this. So let's go to number two. Let's talk about social media and your thinking. Social media and your thinking. Now, there are a lot of verses in the Bible that teach us about thinking. Colossians 3, verse 2, tells us to set our mind on the things above, which is a command that, like, you decide where your mind goes. Okay, so you are not just a pinball where wherever you get pushed or bumped, you just have to think about those things. Now, you could set it. Your mind is an object. You could pick it up and set it places. And it says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul writes, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So our thinking needs to honor the Lord. We know that how we think will be how we act. Psalm 119, verse 11, "Your word I've treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Again, our thinking is committed to the word so we'd walk according to the Lord. Now, did I give you guys those three verses? Yes. Those are the three I gave you? Okay, let me read for you another one. 1 Peter 1:13. You can write this down and look it up. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, preparing your mind for actions, keeping sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So our thoughts are heavenward and Christ-centered, and we're trying to think, like, how can we honor Him? And we want our thinking to be aligned to the Lord because we know that's how we're going to act. So how you think is important. Your thinking is influenced by what you set your mind on. So let's think about, again, social media and our thinking. Let's talk about knowledge. Let's talk about knowledge. Social media has changed the way how we view information. We are now information consumers. There's information coming at us all the time, every minute of every day. This event happened, this weather pattern here, this person died, this team won, this thing got passed through Congress, this thing. We got information coming at us all the time. We're learning about where someone is, what they did, who liked our picture. We're getting notifications, and we think we're learning, but we're not really learning. We're consuming a lot of information, but we're not processing information. We're not thinking deeply. In fact, I've talked to people who were duped into a theological position by a really slick, well-made 5-minute video. And look, there's a lot of it is not hard. I just want to say this. It is not hard to post well-crafted content online. It is not difficult to make it look good, to have nice font and pictures. In fact, some websites, I'm like, why does this still look like it was designed by a crazy person? Because you could make it today. You can make things look nice, and they can give you 5 minutes of information, but there's no dialogue. There's no back and forth. There's no wrestling with the facts and seeing how it goes. It changes how we think. We think that we're learning things, but we're just kind of consuming. We're not processing and owning things, which is really dangerous, by the way, for Bible students, because you want to learn the Bible, it takes thinking and wrestling and considering context and how does this match with other passages of Scripture. It also, when it comes to knowledge, it changes how it changes the level of importance we grant to certain things. I've noticed that social media desensitizes everything. Let me give you an example. If I'm on my Twitter feed, now X, I could see in 5 posts, here's a highlight, here's a law that got passed, this person died, that's funny, and here's a scriptural motivational passage from a pastor I follow, right? Those are 5 very different things, okay? Let me ask you, are all 5 of those things equally important? No. Well, the answer to that is no, right? I mean, some of those things might be humorous, but that bill might be very inconsequential for my life. Maybe it's very consequential for my life. This person dying, this news story is a huge tragedy. But you see, what social media can do is it takes all those things and kind of squashes them to equally important. Because we're getting them all in the same timeline with about the same amount of attention. And I think what it does is it desensitizes us to weighty things. I mean, has everyone ever read the comment section about, like, oh man, this player got caught in a gambling ring, or this player got caught in an affair? Have you read the comment sections on those? It's all like, it's humor, it's jesting, it's levity. Nothing is serious. Everything is just entertainment to comment on, which is not real life. We understand there are things that have eternal consequences. We understand there's things in our life that aren't nearly as important. Social media, I think, downplays all of it and puts it all at the same level. And worse than that, it actually has tricked us into thinking we're the judges of everything. We're the ones who need to have an opinion on everything. Oh, I can't believe they're doing that. We should totally support that they're doing that. And the answer is, I don't have enough information on any of that, despite what that 3-minute video or that Wikipedia blog helped me with, right? Like, we think, though, we are the informed and the ones who need to have an opinion on everything. That's very, very dangerous. It affects our thinking. It also, one of the other categories affects our thinking on is in the area of lust. The area of lust. Like I said, it's the outrageous that is rewarded in social media. And we live in a hyper-sexualized culture. And it's a you are a few clicks away from seeing something you should have never seen. And it's not just like pornography or very explicit material. I mean, it's the way on social media. I remember, I think when I was in college, and maybe this is still a thing, I think it was like Man Crush Monday and Woman Crush Wednesday. And some of you that are older, you'll be like, what is that? You didn't miss out on anything. Trust me. Praise the Lord. And what I think it would do over and over again is just reinforce that whether you're a woman looking at men or a man looking at women, that these are just objects. These are people created for your viewing pleasure. These aren't those created in the image of God that have a parent and a soul and that exist somewhere forever. So we have to be careful with that. Social media affects our attention. We all think now that we can multitask. This is one that I'm guilty of and need to be careful with and better with. We think we could pay attention to multiple things at once. We've heard horror stories, right? Young children in the care of adults or daycare workers who died or harmed themselves because the adult was on their phone. The adult was on their Instagram. The adult was not paying attention to what was going on around them. Now, we are so easily distracted. We do not need to be those who are on our phone all the time. And the other part of thinking of that is narcissism. It's so self-focused. It's all about me. In fact, I think there's even a danger of being spiritual, right? I want to post this spiritual thing so others see me. I want to post this picture of my family. I want to post what's going on so people know that I have a reputation, I have a good family, I have a successful job. Look how much fun I have. I remember my friend talking one time. It was raining in their neighborhood, and there was a lot of water then flowing along the gutters. So him and his two daughters built these little boats, and they were going to have them race, which sounds like a lot of fun, right? And he pulls out his phone to start filming it so he could post it. All of a sudden he goes, wait a second, what am I doing? Like, this is time with my family right here. Why am I so worried about getting this online for other people? I can remember Katie and I one time going to the beach, and there was a girl that was just there by herself who, no joke, for 25 minutes, selfie, adjust, and that was it. Like she's at, you're there, you're missing it. But I think we do the same thing all the time. We do this all the time. I remember when I was pastoring up at Grace Community Church, Pastor John one time, just like MacArthur, just a one-liner drops in, yeah, the iPhone's the most selfish device ever created. And I don't think he was totally wrong on that. I think that seems spot on. This thing feeds us and entertains us. We want to be entertained. One of the things that I want to get better at is this idea of like, oh, things are quiet. Well, therefore, I need to put on a video or put on a podcast. I need to kind of entertain myself with the phone all the times. It's so self-focused, and it affects our thinking. Reminder, the world is not about us. It's about Him. All right, let's go to number three. Social media and your time. Social media and your time. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. There we go. Proverbs chapter 12. Time is something we're always running out of. One theologian said that time keeps on slipping into the future. I think I've heard that somewhere before. Augustine? No, who said that? Anyway, we'll figure that out later. But we are running out of time. And, you know, there could be a lot of, I'm sure, guilt and conviction if we asked, how much time are you spending on your technology? Now remember, time tells us about our priorities. Matthew 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So whatever the thing is that you're treasuring, that you're investing in, time, money, attention, that is where your heart belongs. And so if we're on that all the time, what it tells us is, man, we love that more. There's a study done. I most recently taught this 6 years ago, so I'm sure the numbers are different, but at that time, the number was 73% of Christians say that in the morning they jump to this before they jump to this. And I'm sure it's even higher than that. Friends, that's not just good practice, right? Listen real quick. Even non-Christians know they should be on their phone less. But they don't understand that it's in part because how we spend our time reflects our heart. We as Christians love the Lord more. This needs to be our treasure. It shows where our priority is, what we love. Time is also something that we cannot waste, or at least we should not waste. So you guys are in Proverbs 12, verse 11. It says, "He who cultivates his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who pursues empty things lacks a heart of wisdom." Man, that stings, right? I think there's a lot of things we could put that empty things. Look, I'm not saying that we've got to be on game, 100% productive all the time. I think it's only the Lord finishes his to-do list every day. I think we're dependent. Genesis 3 says we live in a fallen world. It's hard to cultivate the land. But man, there are some time wasters out there, amen? There are some things we give ourselves to. Instead of selflessly serving others, we do these things for our own benefit. We lack a heart of wisdom, and wisdom we know is lack of fear of the Lord. In that moment, it's not just we're making the wrong decision. We're not making a decision that would most honor God with the time he's given us. Ephesians 5, 15, 16 says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." And Colossians 4 says, "Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity." So maybe some questions to ask would be, what opportunities are we missing because of social media? What opportunities am I missing because of technology? How is technology taking away from good things? Taking away from things like evangelism, Bible reading, responsibilities at home, parenting, being a present spouse. What about prayer? John Piper said this. John Piper said, "One of the great uses of Twitter," so it's an older quote, "and Facebook, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time." Amen. Oof. Let's sing a little bit. So there's some things for us to think about there with our time. Our time is limited each day, and we want to use it for the Lord. Okay, finally, let's go to number 4. Let's talk about social media and Christian living. I do want to talk about some good uses of it. I do think, just a side note, application, do an inventory. You know, there is a screen time function in a lot of our devices. It tells us how much time we spend on this. You can put limits in it. You can get accountability for it. You can have a spouse or a kid or someone help you with, like, "Hey, I don't want to do this." We got to be willing to take steps so we can honor the Lord with this. Now, I also want to get into positives about this. Social media, Christian living, how would I use this for the sake of the gospel? And I do want to say, like, there's major opportunity here. There's a story of a family in the Midwest who received news that Abraham Lincoln had been assassinated and who broke down in mourning and crying that someone would shoot the president. That's crazy. And they cried about this. What made the story interesting, as they received the news about 4 months after the assassination had happened. That's how long it took. So I want you to think about that. A president is assassinated. Someone in the middle of the country takes months for them to know about it. Today, I mean, there could have been breaking news during this sermon that some of you are ready to tell. I mean, I remember the day that it was 6 years ago now, I get done preaching and somebody comes up to me and they're shocked. And I thought, "Oh, baby, I just preached a good one. Here we go." And they said, "Did you hear?" I'm like, "What?" "Well, Kobe Bryant just died." Right? Like, that happened in my sermon. Like, a helicopter crash is reported, news up their phone, boom, like that. Like 30 minutes after it happened. I remember that. We live in a world, there's so much information that go quick, which is a good thing in some senses, because we then can get the gospel and get news out there to people who might never come to Bancroft Middle School without a personal invitation and maybe getting opportunity to share the gospel. So what are ways to do it? Well, good uses of it, sharing the gospel. You could post verses. You could interact with people. I don't know the different ways all of you use social media. If you use it as a tool, praise God, use it for that. Be a Christian on social media and live like a Christian would on there. Another thing is to be encouraged. So I would say there are maybe some accounts that if you're constantly going on to them and you're finding yourselves bitter or frustrated, maybe it's time to get rid of those accounts. I know a person who lost a job because they were angry all the time, And when I asked them about it, I said, well, to be honest, during my 20-minute commute there and my 20-minute commute back, I would just listen to political talk radio. I was just an angry person. And I needed to cut those things out of my life because they were affecting me. So I'd say on the one hand, cutting out certain things that affect you. But on the other hand, man, there's some really good stuff online. There's some good people to follow. That would be an encouragement as you're going today. If you're going to check, man, follow these people instead, because there's good stuff to be learned there. A third would be encouraging believers, messaging them, letting them know that you're praying for them. Send an encouraging message. It's an opportunity to know what's going on in their life. So you see this post that they're at the hospital for something, or there's this great event that just happened to them. Maybe on the side, shoot them a text. Hey, praying for you for this. Hope this goes well. Not just news, but this is a person you actually know. Invest into them. There's ways to encourage people. I love when we get to, you know, post pictures of things happening at the church online, because I see that more as an opportunity for our church community to be encouraged by what's going on. We can praise the Lord what's happening here. There's an ability to create community with social media. I have a friend who uses social media for prayer. So basically he goes, at this point, the only reason I use my Facebook is as a prayer list. I only follow the people I care about. That sounds bad, because then I mean you don't care about anyone else. And I say that. I only follow the people I know. It would have been how he worded it. And I just walk through those and I pray for those people. Believers, unbelievers, but I use that as my prayer list. I think those are good uses you could do it, and what an opportunity we have to get the gospel out there. So again, let's just think about this. Social media is not necessarily bad. Technology is not inherently bad. It's like fire. Fire is good if it's in the right place. And we want to make sure that we keep this under. We want to evaluate things. We want to make sure that we're being honest with this. Our heart is to use this technology that God has given us to honor Him. So what I would encourage you as you go home today, pray about it. Think about it. Talk to someone else about it. Are there areas I need to limit? Are there places I need to cut? Are there ways I'm being negatively affected or positively affected by my technology use? But even this, God has given us an opportunity to use for good. Let's not give the devil an opportunity to use it for sin, but use it for His glory. Amen? Amen. And let me pray for us. Father, thank You for the opportunity we've had to study Your Word. Pray that You would challenge us and convict us in this area as well. God, we want to live a life that's pleasing to You. So even in this, it's not just about adding more rules. It's about walking in a way that's holy. Lord, we understand that this is a real challenge. And I'd even pray for us that we would not be naive. That there's a real enemy out there that wants to destroy us. And there are people that want to do harm to adults and harm to children through technology. God, help us to walk in a way that's pleasing to You. Protect us. Help us to be wise in these dark days. And help us to be pleasing to You at all times. Pray this in Your Son's name. Amen.